St. Augustine wrote the first autobiography when he published his book, Confessions. First published in 398, the Confessions of St. Augustine, some 1,600 years later, are still available for purchase in book form. You and I can benefit greatly from reading his confessions, which help us to see our own sin and the struggles of the human heart in response to the call of God. Here I share with you some of his thoughts on the way sin tempts us and how we give in and for what reasons. It is the story and his reflections on that story which we have before us now. He writes, "Theft is punished by your law, O Lord, and by the law written in men's hearts, which iniquity itself cannot blot out. For what thief will put up with a thief? Even a rich thief will not be patient with him who is driven to thievery by want. Yet I had a desire to commit robbery, and did so, compelled neither by hunger nor poverty. Instead, it was through a distaste for well-doing and a lusting for iniquity, for I pilfered something I already had in sufficient and much better amounts. Neither did I desire to enjoy what I pilfered. Instead, I enjoyed the theft and sin itself. There was a pear tree close to our vineyard, heavily laden with fruit, which was tempting neither for its color nor its flavor. To shake and rob this, some of us wanton young fellows went late one night, having, according to our disgraceful habit, prolonged our games in the streets until then, and carried away great loads, not to eat ourselves, but to fling to the very swine, having only eaten some of them. And to do this pleased us all the more, because it was not permitted. Behold my heart, O my God, behold my heart, which you had pity upon when in the bottomless pit. Behold now, let my heart tell you what it was seeking there, that I should be gratuitously wanton, having no incentive to do evil, but the evil itself. It was foul, and I loved it. I loved to perish. I loved my own error. Not that for which I erred, but the error itself. Base soul, falling from your firmament to utter destruction, not seeking anything through the shame, but the shame itself. There's a desirableness in all beautiful bodies, and in gold and silver and all things, and in bodily contact, sympathy is powerful, and each other sense has its proper adaptation of the body. Worldly honor also has its glory and the power of command and of overcoming, whence proceeds also the desire for revenge, and yet to acquire all these we must not depart from you, O Lord, nor deviate from your law. The life which we live here has also its peculiar attractiveness through a certain measure of comeliness of its own and harmony with all the things here below. The friendships of men are also endeared by a sweet bond in the oneness of many souls. On account of all these and such as these is sin committed. Well, through an inordinate preference for these goods of a lower kind, the better and higher are neglected, even you, our Lord God, your truth and your law. For these lesser things have their delights, but not like unto my God, who has created all things, for in him the righteous delight, and he is the sweetness of the upright in heart. When therefore we inquire why a crime was committed, we do not believe it unless it appear that there might have been the wish to obtain some of those which we designated the lesser things, or else a fear of losing them. For truly they are beautiful and comely, although in comparison with those higher and celestial goods, they be abject and contemptible. A man has murdered another. What was his motive? He desired his wife or his estate or would steal to support himself, or he was afraid of losing something of the kind by him. Or being injured, he was burning to have revenge. Would he commit murder without a motive, taking delight simply in the act of murder? Who would believe it? For as for that savage and brutal man, of whom it is declared that he was gratuitously wicked and cruel, there is yet a motive assigned, lest through idleness, he says, hand or heart should grow inactive. And to what purpose? Why, even that, having once got possession of the city through that practice of wickedness, he might attain unto honors, empire, and wealth, and be exempt from the fear of the laws and his difficult circumstances from the needs of his family and the consciousness of his own wickedness. So it seems that even the Roman Senator Catiline himself loved not his own villainies, but something else which gave him the motive for committing them. What was it then that I, miserable one, so doted on in you, you theft of mine, you deed of darkness in that 16th year of my age? Beautiful you were not, since you were theft. But are you anything that so I may argue the case with you? Those pears we stole were fair to the sight, because they were your creation, O fairest of all, creator of all, you, my good God. God, the highest good and my true good, those pears truly were pleasant to the sight, but it was not for them that my miserable soul lusted, for I had abundance of better, but those I plucked simply that I might steal. For having plucked them, I threw them away, my sole gratification in them being my own sin, which I was pleased to enjoy. For if any of these pears entered my mouth, the sweetener of it was my sin in eating it. And now, O Lord my God, I ask what it was in that theft of mine that caused me such delight. And behold, it has no beauty in it. Not such, I mean, as exists in justice and wisdom, nor such as is in the mind, memory, senses, and animal life of man, nor yet such as is the glory and beauty of the stars and their courses, or the earth or the sea teeming with incipient life to replace as is born that which decays, nor indeed that false and shadowy beauty which pertains to deceptive vices. For thus does pride imitate high estate, whereas you alone are God, high above all. And what does ambition seek but honors and renown, whereas you alone are to be honored above all and renowned forevermore? The cruelty of the powerful wishes to be feared, but who is to be feared but God only? Out of whose power what can be forced away or withdrawn, when or where or whether or by whom? The enticements of the wanton desire to be deemed love. And yet there is no more enticing than your love. Nor is anything loved more healthfully than that, your truth, bright and beautiful above all. Curiosity affects a desire for knowledge, whereas it is you who supremely knows all things. Yes, ignorance and foolishness themselves are concealed under the names of simplicity and harmlessness, because nothing can be found more innocent than you. And what is more harmless, since it is a sinner's own works by which he is harmed? And sloth seems to long for rest, but what sure rest is there besides the Lord? Luxury would love to be called plenty and abundance, but you are the fullness and unfailing plenteousness of unfading joys. Wastefulness presents a shadow of liberality, but you are the most lavish giver of all good. Covetousness desires to possess much, and you are the possessor of all things. Envy contends for excellence. But what is so excellent as you? Anger seeks revenge, but who avenges more justly than you? Fear starts at unexpected and sudden hazards which threaten things beloved and is wary for their security, but what can happen that is unexpected or sudden to you? Or who can deprive you of what you love? Or where is their unshaken security save with you? Grief languishes for things lost, in which desire had delighted itself, even because it desires to have nothing taken from it, as nothing can be taken from you. Thus does the soul commit fornication when she turns away from you and seeks without you what she cannot find, pure and untainted, until she returns to you. Thus all pervertedly imitate you who separate themselves far from you and raise themselves up against you. But even by thus imitating you, they acknowledge you to be the creator of all nature, and so that there is no place whither they can altogether retire from you. What then was it that I loved in that theft? And wherein did I, even though corruptly and pervertedly, imitate my Lord? Did I wish, if only by deception, to act contrary to your law, because by power I could not, so being a captive, I might imitate an imperfect liberty by doing with impunity things which I was not allowed to do, an obscured likeness of your omnipotence? Behold the servant of yours, fleeing from his Lord, following a shadow. O rottenness, O monstrosity of life and profundity of death, could I like that which was unlawful only because it was unlawful? So St. Augustine writes as he reflects on the purpose of his sin. In so doing, he helps all of us to gain an insight into our own lust for evil. May his solution, to fall into the arms of a loving God, be our solution as well.